And we are live at the Standing Room Spartans podcast. Your host, Kevin Parker, your co-host, Scott Martin here. If my voice sounds different, it is entirely my fault. It is because I don't have my microphone. I left my laptop at work, actually. So we're recording this through Zoom. Scott's on his laptop, his microphone, and he sounds great. I'm on my phone with AirPods. So unfortunately, we're just going to have to make this thing work. But it is Wednesday evening. We're going to be releasing this on Thursday. So as we are speaking, it is Kenneth Walker days away from MSU football. As you are listening, it is either Kirk Cousins, TJ Duckett days away from MSU football.
Jalen Naylor. If you want to keep Naylor, last year's trend alive.
A lot of good eights out there, yeah.
We've got three straight already from last year's team, right? Because it was Hayward, Thorne, and Kenneth Walker.
Yeah. Yep. Playing the hits.
Keep the trend rolling. That's right.
So, yeah, we've got a lot to get to in this episode. We gave you the MSU season prediction on Monday's show. So if you haven't listened to that, which I'm sure you have, make sure you go back and listen. We went game by game through the whole schedule, predicting MSU's final record, which we'll touch again on today. But today we're doing the whole Big Ten. We're doing every Power Five conference and the champions. We're doing a playoff. We're doing a national champion. We're doing a Heisman winner. Before we get to all of that, we've got some MSU news to talk about. Scott, we've got a commitment. We've got a decommitment. And we've got a transfer portal addition. Which one do we want to hit on first?
Let's start with the bad news. I always like to start with the bad news if I can. So Demetrius Bell, the lone wide receiver commit in the 2023 class, has decided to pull his name out of our commit list for this year and evaluate his options. Not a lot of chatter on whether the book is like officially closed on MSU or not, although I would imagine 95%+ of the time kids decommit, they end up somewhere else. So I wouldn't.
Anecdotally, I can't remember a single example, but I would love if anybody's listening and knows of somebody who decommitted and then recommitted. But I just feel like that would be such an awkward place that I can't even imagine it.
There's something ringing deep in my brain that remembers something like that, but I can't conjure it up on the spot. Anyway, Demetrius Bell, wide receiver, on his way out. Definitely a big athlete to lose in the class. That said, surprise level is like a 0 out of 10. One way or another, this busy wide receiver room is going to have repercussions. We thought we might see it in the transfer portal this summer. We didn't. But I think that logjam has trickled down. If I had to guess, this is speculation, but if I had to guess, he's seeing all the youngsters coming in. Jeremy Bernard reports are flying out of every publication about how well he's doing. There's a lot of young talent in that room. And not saying he doesn't want the smoke, but maybe he just wants to find a place that's not quite as crowded. More power to him. From an MSU perspective, you always love to have talent at skill positions, but personally, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, and it's early in the recruiting process. Like you said, he was the only wide receiver commit so far, but it's August. There's plenty of time for that. That's the nature. Mel Tucker spoke about this recently, where he had a quote about the constant recruiting of guys, even once they're committed. You know, they're not actually committed. And he was saying that, you know, there are guys that you talk to that will tell you, you know, yeah, coach, my recruitment is completely open. And you're like, but you're committed. Yeah, coach, no, my recruitment's open. I'm ready for business, basically. So the commitment, the quote unquote, maybe we go the Graham Couch route. Maybe we just stop calling them commitments. I don't know. We call them pledges and move on. It's just the nature. You start recruiting at this level, you know, you bring in, what was it, like 11 four-star guys that we have in the class. That's just, you know, teams that recruit at a top 10, 15, 20 level, they have guys that decommit and they find other guys to fill their places. I don't think it's the biggest news in the world. there was a very slim chance of the whole class committing and then holding their commitments and us going on to signing day, holding hands and skipping to the finish line, you were going to have one or two guys drop out, right? So this is just, part of the game. But you lose one, you gain one. Jalen Thompson, right? Cass Tech, top two. I think he barely sneaks into the top 200 on the composite ranking. I want to say he's like 197 without having it in front of me right now. But we add our third edge player to this class. The BT effect, the Brandon Jordan effect, is in full swing. He joins Andrew DePepe and By Job as an awesome. I think we were just talking about this maybe a month ago about, man, if we got Jalen Thompson, right? And now the Hayes in the barn, so to speak, we got Jalen Thompson, which again, we were just talking about how you never really know until you know. But that said, I love the way this edge class is coming together with those three.
Yeah, the BT Jordan effect, as plenty have dubbed it, is in full swing. I would hesitate to call them all edge. By Job is confirmed edge. I think DePepe and Thompson both have the potential to play across the line depending on how their development goes. I think if you suited them up right now, they'd all be edges. But I mean, DePepe and Thompson both at 245 already with a year to play. Could be one of those kind of guys who moves into the interior on third down. We'll see. Either way, heck of an arsenal to bring in for BT Jordan's first recruiting class. Also Marco Coleman's first recruiting class. I think Jordan gets a lot of the attention, yeah. Right? He's flashy. He's active on social media. He's a fun youngster. Who's a great quote in front of a microphone, but by all accounts, Marco Coleman, who is the defensive line coach for this team, is also a great recruiter. Great at connecting with the guys. And props to that whole squad. I don't know if they're done either. I could see, speaking of positions, you love to have athletes and weapons at. I could see another name trickling into this group but before the end of the signing period.
You can never have enough line and scrimmage guys, one way or the other, offensive or defensive linemen. So if we bring in another one, hey, I'll welcome them with open arms.
What position can you afford to not have a stable of dudes? Like we keep saying, you can never have enough.
Yeah.
Like what can you ever have enough of? Kickers? Because we just got another one.
Depends. It depends on how you feel about the kickers in the building. I mean, linebacker? I don't know. Like, I feel like if you're a little thin at linebacker, it's like, yeah, like, all right, we'll be okay.
Says the Lions,
maybe
fan.
Kicker. Yeah, that's true. We did bring another kicker. So clearly the competition wasn't as positive as Mel Tucker made it sound in his press conferences. When asked about the kicking position, it was always, we like what we see out of these two. And we were just saying before we start recording, we've seen Stephen Rusnak kick in college atmosphere and it wasn't pretty. So if that truly was a competition, then that was never going to be a good thing. So you bring in a grad transfer with 3 years of eligibility from Auburn, a kind of a unique case, but a local Michigan product in, what was it, Ben Patton?
Ben Patton, Rochester Adams High School.
Who, depending on how you read his very limited resume, could be a very good or very bad. He had a 49-yard kick in overtime in the Iron Bowl against Alabama. He drills it as he was getting drilled. Somebody posted the highlight of him actually kicking it through the uprights. He got nailed right after that kick. I don't know how there wasn't a penalty. But he also has 6 career attempts. And one of those attempts is a miss from 25 yards away. So you can read into those numbers as much as you want. At the end of the day, we now have probably a 3-man kicking competition. And I have no idea how that's going to work itself out. To be honest, I don't feel super confident about it. And kicking is one of those positions where people will laugh it off and laugh it off. Oh, it's just a kicker. And you say that until you need a kicker. And unfortunately, we already gave our predictions. I have us winning 9 games. Scott has us winning 10 games. I think there are a lot of close games on the schedule. And if you don't have a reliable kicker, some of those close games start looking a lot less optimistic. I don't know. But yeah, we have another kicker, another guy in the competition.
Never hurts to have competition. My prediction of 10-2 this year is completely reliant upon the kickers figuring themselves out. That is such a, it has to be the least of our concerns. If it's higher on the list, we've got other things to worry about.
You're living in a house of cards there.
Yeah. So it'll figure itself out. I'm still on Team Stone. But any of them, if they decide they want to be a good kicker, I'm all for it. Yeah, so that's the news. Two in, one out. And we're 9 days from MSU football, Kevin. We're also 3 days away from week 0 action. Is that right?
Yeah, I think Saturday. I don't think there are any Thursday or Friday, so I think it's just Saturday. And into the weekend as well. I think there's a Sunday games too. But yeah, just a couple days away from real, actual college football. Maybe not the most aesthetically pleasing matchups, but real college football nonetheless.
Kevin, how would you make college football that wasn't exciting more exciting?
I would probably head to DraftKings, but I don't know. That's just me. If you are heading over to DraftKings, obviously you have college football spreads. You have, it's the best sports book on the planet, but you have Rainmakers Football, the first ever NFT fantasy game from DraftKings. It's the only NFT fantasy game licensed by the NFLPA. You can now play all season long for millions of prizes by building the ultimate NFT franchise. Right now, everyone can get their first full roster starter pack for free. Playing Rainmakers is simple. Buy, sell, bid, and win player card NFTs from the biggest names in the game through regular drops and auctions in DraftKings Marketplace. Craft lineups of athletes from your NFT collection, and then it's effectively just fantasy football from there. So build your NFT franchise and enter free Rainmakers football contests all season long to compete for millions in prizes. The next generation of fantasy sports is here. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now. Sign up with promo code TPPN. That's for the Pigskin Podcast Network, of which we're a proud member. Click the Rainmakers tile. Opt in to get your first card free. Plus, play for millions in prizes all football season while building the ultimate NFT fantasy franchise with Rainmakers Football. That's promo code TPPN. Build, play, win only at DraftKings. Contest entries depend on type and number of NFTs held. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details. You got any hot tips on those week 0 lines, Scott?
I was seeing if I could download DraftKings plugin on my desktop before you finished the ad read, and I was not successful. So
that would have been a hell of an ad for DraftKings. You can even download it by the time we finish this ad read.
Yeah, they got to make their ad read longer.
No, they got a whole location service thing. I know it's a little bit of a process, but it is less than 5 minutes for those who haven't signed up yet. It's not a long process, but it's not a snap of the finger either.
So we've got a couple games this weekend, and the first of which
this weekend, this Saturday.
I was really bummed. My wife is going to the Harry Styles concert this Friday. Props to her. Probably be a pretty good show.
You're not joining at the Harry Styles concert.
I won't be there. But I was really hoping, you know, I'm like Friday night to myself. It's going to be a party, you know, sports watching party. And I was like, there's a game, right? I can head to DraftKings. I can find New Mexico State against, you know, whomever.
Tulsa.
And I'll throw $5 on it and I'll drink a few beers and I'll have myself a Friday night. Unfortunately, somehow the powers that be did not make it happen to have a Friday week zero game. It's blasphemous, if you ask me.
Missed opportunity.
I don't understand how they're not taking advantage of this, but nonetheless, they're not. And I'm one step closer to finding these spreads for college football. I made it through. Okay, here we go. Here we go. I got
there we
one.
Go. All right.
We'll start with.
I was going to say, if we need any more.
So the non-Big Ten versus Big Ten game, Wyoming and Illinois, has a closer spread than the game between the two Big Ten teams. So plenty to dive into here. But Kevin, Illinois at home minus 11 against Wyoming, who I think are the Broncos or the Cowboys.
It's the Cowboys, yeah.
Cowboys. So
with their mustard yellow and brown uniforms.
So Illinois kicking off the Big Ten's non-conference slate, hosting Wyoming and only a touchdown and a half favorite.
Yeah. I like Illinois. I think they're going to be well coached enough. They've got a good run game. They're not going to take this one lightly because I think they know that they're Illinois. And I think Wyoming kind of sucks this year. So I like Wyoming to cover, or I like Illinois to cover, excuse me. Two touchdowns. I think that'll take care of business.
Over under is 44 for that one as well. So
ooh,
that's going to be, it's in that 4 o'clock slot. If you don't like the sound of that action, you can always head to UConn and Utah State, the other 4 o'clock game. That one's got a 27 point.
They really are testing how much we really want live football on our TVs with these games.
Speaking of how much I want to watch live football, the one game I know I'm going to tune in for this weekend, the 12:30
I'm genuinely excited.
In Dublin, Ireland, the ever so Irish Nebraska Cornhuskers.
It cracks me up every
are
time.
13 point favorites. And I don't know. They're listed as a visitor. Obviously, there's no home and away, but being hosted by the visiting Northwestern Wildcats, who for some reason feel Irish to me. But I don't know if they're actually Irish at all.
I think it's just a Pat Fitzgerald. It's a Chicagoland. You know, they just got an Irish vibe to them.
Yeah. So
fun fact,
points.
Fun fact about that is because Northwestern is a home team here. So the Big Ten West and the Big Ten East, I don't know how many people know this. They alternate which division has 5 home games and 4 road games and 5 road games and 4 home games because we have 9 conference games, and they just alternate it. They figure out the schedule and they alternate it by division. So this is a year where the West only has 4 home games because this is a conference game. Northwestern is listed as the home team. Northwestern only has 3 home games, and not just in conference play, the entire season.
What?
So your Northwestern season ticket package is very light. I for sure that's the deal with the conference play. They might have snuck in a non-conference home game in there, but I'm pretty sure like they go to at Duke or something. They've got a really wonky schedule this year.
We're looking this up on the spot because I think you're wrong. They're playing all their non-conference at home.
Are they? Okay. So then
but
it's just
Big
the Big
Ten. They
slate.
Do only have 3 home games.
Yeah.
They're playing Duke,
okay, so,
Southern Illinois, and Northwestern's never really actually had a home football game. They play near their campus, but that's about the extent of it.
So they still get, 5, 6 home games, but only 3 Big Ten home games, which is a tough slate for them.
So on the other side of the ball, Nebraska, the carousel has done another lap, and we've got some exciting new transfers in Lincoln. And Scott Frost apparently is still worth having hope in if you're a Nebraska Cornhuskers fan. Maybe the first win in a road to a bowl game. Kevin, do you think Nebraska wins? Do you think Nebraska covers?
No.
Neither?
I got Northwestern. Nope.
Straight up.
Give me the, this just, for no other analysis, than this just feels like a game that Northwestern beats Nebraska. Like, this is just the type of kind of weird game that Northwestern always seems to win, and the same type of weird game that Nebraska always seems to lose. That's my analysis.
A Northwestern win. It just feels – no, no, I read – see, this is why you knock off the rust before you dive into the full predictions. I have a Nebraska win. So,
okay. Do you think they would cover? That's a pretty big number, though.
I do not think they would cover. I think they win by, like, 9 because they don't have the capacity to win by double digits. But if it's within one score, they will lose. So it has to be either 8 or 9. So I'll give them a 9-point win.
There it is. So there's your week 0 slate presented by DraftKings, if they want to present. I don't know. Let's get into these standings. So we're going to run through, basically, to set it up again, we're going to run through the whole Big Ten. We're going to give you our predictions. We have picked every game for every Big Ten team. So when you are telling me that I'm an idiot because of this, or that I'm a genius because of this team, I encourage you to do the same. It is an interesting exercise. You do end up looking at it at the end and kind of think to yourself, like, really? Like, 8 wins for this team or 4 wins for this team? You know, you kind of surprise yourself sometimes when you actually have to pick everyone. We'll go through the whole Big Ten. And then we'll run through real quick, because we are college football fans and we do have, a platform to make predictions. We'll pick conference winners. We'll throw the playoff, the national championship, and the Heisman in there too. So let's go over to the Big Ten. Let's start in the West. So Scott, run down. I want 7-1. You can give me the records if you want to with the Big Ten West.
All right, well, we're going to start with a couple of the teams we were just talking about. Number 7 in the Big Ten West, I've got the Fighting Illini. I've got them at 3-9 Ooh. Overall.
Ooh.
I've got them at 1-8 in conference. I just, like you said about...
Big Kurt is not going to be happy.
No, that's okay. There's just not that many wins to go around, like you said, in the Big Ten. And when I sit down and I try to look at each individual game, I try to give it a little bit of context, but later in the season, you don't know what context there will be anyway. So I really try to look at these in a vacuum. And maybe that means I'm more biased towards the conventional outcome of the game, but I don't see Illinois winning many of these games. They have a ton of road games. I don't see it from them. So Illinois, number 7, number 6, Northwestern, also 1-8 in conference. I have their one win at, where is it? Illinois, not at Illinois, home against Illinois. So that edges them out for the tiebreaker at the bottom of the Big Ten West for 6th. 5th, I've got Nebraska, 4-5 in conference, 6-6, which means
a new bowl game.
The Cornhuskers are going bowling.
I wonder if that keeps his job. That can't keep your job. What's that, year 5, Scott Frost?
We've been saying that every year, though. Into a bowl game. Know he's going to walk in. He's going to be like, but we're improving. And then he'll be like, yes, Scott, yes.
We doubled our win total from last year.
So I got Nebraska number 5 in the Big Ten West. Number 4, 3-4 are tied, both overall and conference records. I've got Iowa in 4th, losing a tiebreaker to Minnesota. Tiebreakers were clean. I didn't have to get into any 3-way ties. It was just straight up head-to-head. I've got Minnesota beating Iowa this year. But that's 3rd and 4th, which you may have guessed by now, leaves Purdue and Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I also have a tie at the top at 10-2 and 7-2. I have Wisconsin edging out Purdue to take the bid to Indy. But if you ask the folks in Ann Arbor, that is co-division champions, according to the Big Ten bylaws.
All right. So we've got some differences here. This is fun. I want to say, like, I don't have the graphic in front of me from last year that we did. We were relatively in lockstep for a lot of last year. This is quite a bit different. So I've got 7th place, Northwestern Wildcats, 4-8 overall, 2-7 in the conference. Northwestern, I feel like they'll squeeze out a couple wins that you don't expect them to, but they're just not talented at all.
Which non-conference do you have them losing? Duke?
I have Northwestern. Where are they here? I've got Northwestern beating Nebraska and then losing to Duke. I just feel like that's kind of a
that feels right. Point, yeah, I right? could. Yeah, I mean, that's not what I have, but I that tracks.
So 6th place, via a tiebreaker. This is actually I don't know exactly how the tiebreakers work. I didn't bother to look this up. So these two teams have the same conference record. One of the teams beat the other team in head to head, but the team that loses the head to head has the better overall record. And I think the head to head would win out and they would correct. Get the nod.
Yeah, it doesn't wins really outside matter. The conference never come into the Big Ten standings. I figure.
Yeah. So that leaves 6th place, the Purdue Boilermakers, 6-6
Whoa.
Overall. I think Aiden O'Connell is a good quarterback. I think he could be a very good quarterback, but I don't think he's good enough to like elevate a team to a win that they wouldn't have otherwise had. Like, I don't think he's a quarterback that can beat a team that is clearly superior because of his play. And David Bell, I actually just looked this up today for something else. In 12 regular season games, David Bell had 133 targets. Like, I think losing David Bell at wide receiver is a big deal. And you lose a first round pick defensive end in George Karlaftis. And I just, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I just don't think Purdue can swallow two like bona fide NFL guys in the same offseason and just come back and be okay.
So let me
I
see.
I still think they'll get to a bowl game, but I don't see them competing for the West at all.
So you've got losses, I'm guessing, to Penn State, Minnesota, Maryland, Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Iowa.
Let's see, Purdue. Yeah, losses, Penn State, Minnesota. I've got them losing at Maryland.
Right.
Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois. So Illinois.
Oh, and Illinois. Do you have a win against Nebraska? Okay.
Yeah. So Illinois was the tiebreaker there. Illinois then in 5th place at 5-7 overall, but also 3-6 in the conference. And then I've got Nebraska in 4th place, also at 6-6, sneaking into a bowl game and saving Scott Frost's job. And then I have a 3-way tie. This is the most Big Ten West thing of all time. I got a 3-way tie for the division lead. I've got Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota. I've got Minnesota winning out in the tiebreakers because they will beat Iowa and Wisconsin and win the West and represent the West in the Big Ten title game. I think basically, I think those three are a clear head above the rest of the division. And I think those are three teams that basically they all play good defense. They all have a good running game. But Minnesota, to me, has the highest passing game ceiling. You have Tanner Morgan, who I think of Graham Mertz and Spencer Petras and Tanner Morgan. I think Morgan is the best quarterback of those three. And then you reunite him with the offensive coordinator that he had with their, what was that, a 10-win, 11-win season in 2019. So I think those are three similar teams, and Minnesota just has they have a passing game ceiling that the other two don't, and that's kind of gives me that little edge. But I've got a three-way tie, Minnesota with the tiebreakers, heading to Indy for the first time under PJ Fleck.
All right, I need Purdue to come through for me. That's really the hit or miss here, is what I'm hearing. Yeah. The rest are similar, but Purdue biggest
similar
difference.
Enough. Yeah,
I just think Wisconsin, when it comes to like that Minnesota Iowa Wisconsin, has their defense is a cut above Minnesota and Iowa. Well, Iowa was good last year, but Wisconsin's defense was underrated, yeah, really good last year.
And Iowa's got two like all American type with Jack Campbell at linebacker and Riley Moss at corner.
Yep.
And it's so, Iowa. I mean, they're always, Phil Parker is an excellent defensive coordinator. So
I have to say, having the, I think they consider it like a four-way rivalry, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska.
Basically. Yeah.
Even though it's really three, I'm not putting Nebraska in that realm until they earn it.
Nebraska a Big Ten and East Iowa fan, have like a made up rivalry, I think. And then those three though, they go back a ways.
I very much enjoyed being a Big Ten East fan and watching that carousel of teams like battle for the top. I will say what you want about the Big Ten West, like not being the same talent level. Although if you take Ohio State out of the picture, they're very close. They do have parity in that conference. And even Northwestern has been to the Big Ten championship. Now Nebraska has been there. Wisconsin's obviously been there. You've got Purdue, Minnesota, Iowa's been there. Like, great division of football if you're looking for like legitimate drama competition and like running down. It is I would put money above anything else in this division on the division winner not being established by the last week of the regular season.
And on top of that, you know, the Big Ten West gets a lot of crap nationally because of the style of play that most teams have. But you line up the Big Ten West against basically any other division in college football besides like the SEC West. And I mean, I would take this division over either of the ACC divisions. I would probably take it. Yeah, I would take it over either of the Pac-12 divisions. And if you like the Big 12 doesn't have divisions, but if you just kind of split the Big 12 in half, I would take the Big 10 West over whatever half that you gave me. So it's a really good division. It just doesn't have that one elite team that's a playoff contender that kind of carries the narrative, but it's, I mean, top to bottom, generally pretty darn good football. Like the East always gets the representation nationally, but the East also has like Rutgers and Maryland and Indiana every given year. The Big Ten West, they don't really have that. I mean, sometimes Northwestern sucks. Sometimes Illinois sucks. But like going into this year, I think every single one of these teams is going to be a tough out. So let's head over to the East. You already know our Michigan State records, but I guess what you don't know is where that stacks us in the East. I'll start with this one. So coming in seventh, because of a tiebreaker, the Indiana Hoosiers, 3-9 overall, 1-8 in the conference. I just couldn't find any wins for them, man. I talked about it in the MSU predictions, but that program's in a bad spot right now, sharing that seventh, sixth place, but getting the tiebreaker win is the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, also at 3-9, 1-8 in the conference. Fifth place, going bowling, but not by much, is the Maryland Terrapins. I got them at 6-6. And then I've got this was another, I guess, a trend in my predictions. I don't know how it really worked out this way. I promise that I didn't try to make it work out this way. I've got a tie for second place with three teams who are all 9-3 and 6-3 in the conference. So I've got 6 9-3 teams in the Big Ten. I don't know how that worked out, but you can guess who they are: Penn State, Michigan State. And I see those teams lumped together a lot closer than I guess the rest of the media does. And that, look, I've been a Michigan State fan for 28 years now. I know that Michigan is going to get a lot more preseason hype than anybody else. But I think they're really going to miss those defensive pieces in Hutchinson, Ajabo, and Daxon Hill. And I've got them 9-3. I don't have them falling off the face of the planet here, but I do think that they're going to miss those guys a little bit more than people are expecting. And I think Penn State's not really getting the credit that they deserve there either. But first place, it's Ohio State. I've got them going 12-0. I've got them running the table. This Ohio State offense, they might have the best quarterback in the country, the best wide receiver in the country, and the best running back in the country, and a pretty darn good offensive line. And then if that wide receiver gets hurt, they'll be fine because they have five stars everywhere. If that running back gets hurt, they'll be fine because they've got five stars everywhere. Shoot, if their quarterback gets hurt, they'll probably still win 10 games. So I've got them running the table. I could see a couple places that they might lose a game, but I would still be surprised.
All right, this one's a little chalkier in terms of what we got. I also just don't see wins for the Hoosiers this year. I didn't even give them the benefit of one conference win. I've got them at 2-10, 0-9. I think Western Kentucky could be tough for them. It was tough for them last year. They just got lucky, for anyone who didn't watch that game. Getting out of, and they played at Western Kentucky last year. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare night game for them.
They're now making, with this new TV contract, they're making what, $100 million a year, and they're going on the road to Western Kentucky. Like, what are you guys doing?
This year they're going at Cincy.
I know.
They're playing a playoff team on the road in week 4.
A playoff G5 team on the road. That sounds like the worst non-conference scheduling decision that has ever been made.
You have nothing to gain. Nothing to gain. Sure, yeah, if you win, you could beat a reigning college football playoff team, but it's also just going to be dismissed as a group of five team.
And they're probably going to be like 17 point underdogs. So
anyway,
terrible.
Indiana, bad losses all across the board. It's an exodus there. Poor Tom Allen and his smiling face and his quips about loving each other are just really not fueling the train anymore down there. Rutgers in sixth. I got them at 3-9, 1-8 in the conference. Their lone conference win is Indiana, you might have guessed. Interesting first game at Boston College for them.
Oh, again,
terrible, but like, okay, if you want to schedule like a lower tier power five that's probably going to beat you on the road, then like, by all means.
This is my one chance to bring up one of my favorite college quarterbacks this year, Phil Dracovic at Boston College. He's going to be a first 2 days NFL draft pick.
And you'll see him first torching the Scarlet Knights defense week 1.
Exactly.
So Rutgers 3-9, Maryland also have them sneaking into a bowl at 6-6 and 3-6 in conference. Besides the other two that I think are bad, I just don't see too many conference wins. Their non-conference is pretty generous. Buffalo at Charlotte and South Alabama. So I see them winning all three of those. I think they're going to be a competitive team this year, but I think they're just going to be a cut below the cream of the Big Ten. So yeah, I think 6-6, 3-6, and then you get into the big dogs. So fourth, I've got Penn State. They were kind of the short stick with the Michigan State, Penn State trio for me. Last year left a bad taste in my mouth with Penn State. They just looked bad. They still have the same quarterback. I know they have tons of talent, but they've also consistently underutilized their talent under James Franklin and completely bottled the end of games with relative consistency. I mean, if you're looking for a team that behaves like Nebraska, even though they win more games, it's Penn State. A lot of talent, shoot themselves in the foot all the time.
What do you have for the record for them?
8-4 and 6-3.
Well, I'm curious, what were the losses you had?
I I gave Purdue the win week one, which I'm sure you didn't
Oh, okay.
have.
So that, yeah.
It's on the road at Purdue.
Yeah.
So I have them losing that. I have them losing to Auburn on the road. I just,
ooh,
Big
okay.
Ten teams, early season, non-conference, they never perform well on the road. Michigan and Ohio State losses.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
I had them losing. So I had them going 5-0 to start, and then a bye week, and then three straight losses to Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio State, and then a four-game run to close it out. I had a weird schedule for
them.
So
we both like the Nittany Lions over the Spartans this year. Interesting.
Yep.
So, which brings me to my second and third place tie, which would be another hilarious end to a season. Michigan and Michigan State both sitting at 7-2 in the conference and 10-2 overall. I have Michigan State winning in the Big House, as we went over last episode, which would put us in second, which would just be hilarious, right? If we tied again. I mean, we would have the tiebreaker, which would theoretically give us bragging rights, but like there would still just be something out there saying, well, nobody gets the upper hand this year either.
You got to keep this rivalry as toxic as possible.
Yeah. So throw in one bad call and, like, you know, before the kick, first kickoff, the wind was blowing the wrong direction and gives them an excuse. But I've got Michigan State technically finishing in second with the tiebreaker, which leaves Ohio State running the table 12-0, 9-0. It just, again, I sit down, I look at each individual game in a vacuum, and I try to imagine those two teams playing, and it's just, there's no way to envision Notre Dame losing a game. Notre Dame, Ohio State. That I was looking at Notre Dame. I think they're the maybe biggest challenger. I mean, week
and
one,
Ohio State is a, I think it's 17.5-point favorite in that game right now.
The only thing working in their favor is that it's week one. They've got a new defense. Anything can happen in week one because things just don't always pan out early in the season, even for the best teams. And that's always the risk, scheduling a big game early in the season. It happened to Ohio State last year, right? Probably a playoff team if they hadn't lost to Oregon, as long as they keep it close against Michigan. But they lost that early season game, and it cost them a playoff appearance. So nonetheless, I think they get back to their winning ways. Just too much talent to put your money against the Buckeyes these days. I got them 12-0 and rounding out the top of the conference, taking on the Badgers for a classic Ohio State Wisconsin Big Ten championship.
Yeah, we've seen that one a couple times. I want to run through real quick. I have from DraftKings the over under, so won't go through every team, but there's a couple teams on here that I'm like a full game and a half or more over or under a total. So if anybody is listening to me and saying like, oh, that makes sense, those totals are out there. Do with that what you will. I've got Iowa clearing over under 7.5 pretty easily. Same with Minnesota, over under is 7.5. I've got both of those very obviously over. Nebraska, I've got a full game and a half under their 7.5 win total. Nebraska 7.5. I'll repeat that one more time. Nebraska has a 7.5 win over under. Purdue, I've got them unfortunately under that 7.5 number by quite a bit. The whole Big Ten West is basically over under 7.5. MSU, I've got blowing past their over under of 7.5 with 9 wins. And then Ohio State's over under is 10.5. I've got them undefeated, so clearing that number pretty easily. And then the rest of them were either within a half game, or a couple of them were right on the number. So wanted to mention that in case anybody was curious.
Yeah, I've got Nebraska under. I'll do any more than a game. Nebraska, I've got at 6. They're at 7.5. That's just attention betting that's driven that lineup. Wisconsin, 8.5. I have them at 10. Somebody's got to win the games. I mean, these over-unders, all the teams are between 4 and 8.5. It's like someone will finish lower or higher than those, but the law of averages, you know, sending everybody to the middle. A lot of these are pretty close. Obviously, I've got MSU 2.5 games over 7.5. I've got Ohio State a game and a half over. Indiana, I've got 2 games under. So pretty close, but I'm high on Purdue. I'm low on Illinois. I'm high on MSU. I'm low on nobody else in the Big Ten. So.
So to wrap up the Big Ten, safe to say you have Ohio State winning that Big Ten championship.
I don't even think I wrote that down, but
I didn't even bother. It's just they're going to win the Big Ten. So we'll run through, we'll try to rapid fire this a little bit. I think the Big Ten stuff is kind of the main event here for most people listening, but we are a college football fan. So we'll give our predictions. We'll throw them out there. We'll go quick cut. We'll go through the rest of the Power Five divisions or conferences, and then finished off with a little playoff in Heisman. So we got the Big Ten. We both have Ohio State winning it. Let's head out west with the Pac-12. I'm going to start here. Utah is going to win the Pac-12. I've got a nice ticket out on that. I think they're the most physical team in that conference, with arguably the best quarterback and the best coach in that conference, as far as like proven commodities at their current school. Lincoln Riley, it's their first year.
I was going to say, you better add some qualifiers here.
Yeah, there are a couple of qualifiers there. But you have USC and Oregon first-year head coaches, and Utah is kind of a machine right now. So I think Utah's going to run away with that thing.
I really want Utah to be legit good, right? They're not like one of the thoroughbreds in the Pac-12, the has-beens in the Pac-12, but they're like super fun team to watch. Their defense plays with a ton of energy. They've been on the scene for a few years now, 5 or so, it feels like. That's just off the top of my head, but in terms of real legit football teams. And it would just be really fun to have a West Coast team kind of come out of the woodwork to really shake things up nationally. I also have Utah coming out of the Pac-12.
So Big 12, I've got a repeat champion here. I've got the Baylor Bears. I love Baylor. I love Dave Aranda, their head coach. They have a top 5-ish offensive line in the country. They've got a lot of stuff to replace, but I just kind of trust Dave Aranda. Texas, it's Texas. Like, if you're picking Texas to win that conference, you're crazy. Oklahoma, again, first-year head coach. The one sleeper dark horse, if Baylor isn't enough of a dark horse, Kansas State. Look out for Kansas State. But, yeah, I've got Baylor winning the Big 12.
I don't know what to make of the Big 12. Probably the most shaken up conference in terms of just off-season news. It feels... I wonder if anybody's compiled everything that's happened in college football in the last, like since the last season, in terms of conference alignments, coaching changes, like new rules, new TV deals. It feels like it's been forever, but the Big 12 still intact for the time. I've got Oklahoma. I think they retained enough talent, although a lot of the big names left for USC. I think Oklahoma, they've got a great foundation built there. The conference is in a place that if you have to have kind of a reset year and still try to be competitive, I think there's no clear top dog that's going to keep Oklahoma down. So I think Oklahoma does enough. Brett Venables in his first season gets the job done.
Oklahoma is in the Ohio State tier of they're never bad. Like, their bad seasons are 7-win seasons. So you can always count on them. At the worst case, they're still going to be really good. So I think that's a pretty safe bet there. I actually have my Big 12, I have Oklahoma at like plus 210 and Baylor, it was like plus 700 when that number came out.
Plus odds for both.
So as long as either of those teams win, I'll make a little profit. And I can't imagine really any other team actually winning that conference. So I feel pretty good about my picks there. The SEC, Vanderbilt, who you got, Scott?
I have Alabama. I wanted to take Georgia, but Georgia lost some big pieces and Bama's always going to be Bama. I just think they're a little bit more well-developed in terms of replacing talent last year. This was funny. I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast, but recently Nick Saban had a press conference and somehow the interviewer, not a press conference, an actual interview, and the interviewer asked him something that led him to say that 2021 was a rebuild. Did we talk about that on the podcast?
We didn't, no.
So Nick Saban told the reporter that last year was a rebuild for them. And we all know how their season went last year. And I think it was Josh Pate from CBS Sports who went on and basically his argument was valid. It was like, yeah, I mean, if you look at the talent they lost from 2020 to 2021, it was enormous. By any other team's standards, you'd be writing them off for like 8 wins at best. Maybe we'll see them next year. But Alabama just has such a high floor with the amount of talent and just residual, like strong foundation they have built that they can't, they don't have the capacity to win less than 10 games in a season. Like
it's literally impossible.
It's no longer in the realm of possibility. So I think Georgia is looking at similar to what Bama went through last season. And Georgia's, don't get me wrong, they got plenty of dudes, but not quite at the level of Bama. And last year, Bama was laying groundwork for maybe, I mean, well, I'll save the spoilers. I think Bama wins the conference.
Well, yeah. And again, in the rebuilding year, remember that in one of their two neutral site games, Bama still beat Georgia. Like, so, God, that program is so ridiculous. I also have Bama. I think this Bama team might be a total FU tour of beating everybody by 60 points. This is going to be one of those. We started a bunch of freshmen and sophomores last year, and those guys couldn't leave by rules. They have to be back. And good luck, college football. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. I've got Bama winning the SEC. I don't think there's any point in putting any money anywhere other than Bama and Georgia. And I even think putting money on Georgia to win the SEC is just not a good spot to be in. So, it's Bama.
So you don't have Stetson Bennett winning the Heisman?
No, I don't. Unfortunately, I love the kid. I will always cherish. What was it? Good Morning America. When he came on, just you could very clearly, we've all been there. It's that mix between I'm still drunk, but I'm also really hungover. And he just, his eyes are glazed over. He's like, there's like a 3-second delay with every answer. That was a legendary post-championship interview. But going over to the ACC, I'll let you start there. The ACC is kind of weird this year.
This is one of the hardest ones for me to predict. Clemson's up there in the preseason rankings. They always are. They're a brand now. I don't think they have what they need to show it all of a sudden this year. Is Uiagalelei still their quarterback?
Yeah, just named him the starter. Yeah.
And I just don't think he's the dude. Don't get me wrong. I think he has a potential to be a great quarterback. I just think when it comes to like being a national championship contender, he's holding them back a little bit. I didn't admittedly research the ACC that deeply, but I'm going with NC State. Kind of a gut selection. Pitt's in there too, but Pitt has way too much to replace. I'm actually surprised they're getting as much love as they are. I like NC State.
And Pat Narduzzi is a crazy person.
So. I like NC State. I think it might be like a 2-loss champion. I don't love the ACC at all this year. Really top to bottom is just pretty boring. And I think honestly that if they don't make big moves quick, they're kind of headed towards irrelevancy pretty quick here in college football.
Yeah, and a lot of people have kind of pegged this as the NC State year. Just that, I mean, they've been really good the last couple of years, and like all of those guys are kind of seniors now. And so it's kind of like as a quote unquote developmental program, you know, a lot of places get those tags where it's like you have one season every 6, 7, 8 years that it's like we ended up kind of stumbling into a couple really good recruiting classes and all those guys stayed. And now all those guys are upperclassmen. And this is the year that we have pegged. It's boring, but I just think Clemson's defense is going to be so good this year that Clemson was bad last year and they went 10-3. It's just, it's not really a Clemson thing because we'll get to the playoff stuff later. I don't think this Clemson team can compete at all with Ohio State and Alabama, but I'm not really asking them to. I'm asking them to win the ACC. So I've got Clemson. My sleeper pick, like dark horse, is North Carolina. For no other, it's kind of the post-hype sleeper. They got really hyped up last year, and maybe it was just a year too early. I know they lose their quarterback, but they have a lot of talent on the team. So if they can put that together, but I'll take Clemson. I'll be boring. So the playoff.
You're going to have such a lame playoff with your conference champions. I mean, it's
same every year. I will put Utah in there. So I'm going to have Bama. I'm going to have Ohio State. I think they're going to pigeonhole Georgia, even though Georgia's going to lose the SEC championship. They'll get in, same way Alabama did last year, because it's still ESPN and the SEC. But then I'll put Utah in there as that fourth team. So Bama 1, Ohio State 2, Georgia, whatever they end up doing with that. Georgia, it depends if ESPN wants the rematch of Bama and Georgia or not. Georgia and Utah as my four.
All right.
I know it's boring.
I have number one, Alabama, 12-0, 13-0, whatever they are at that point in the season, and 0.
They're going to go 15-0 anyway.
I also have Utah in the four spot. Any newcomer to the college football playoff, I feel like, is like you're not allowed to go above four. They've made that very clear.
Exactly.
They got to save the top three for the Blue Bloods. It's reserve seating. Number two, I'm going totally out of order here. I don't care. Number two, I also have Ohio State. Number three, it's a wild card here, Notre Dame.
Ooh,
losing
okay.
to Ohio State. And then running the table, getting in as a one loss because their
Marcus
loss
Freeman.
Will be. I have a theory that's probably been like proven by someone, but I've never bothered to look up that the earlier in the season your loss, the better. I think that's pretty clear, right? In terms of rebounding, like if you lose a game, you automatically go down the standings at least five, unless it's like playing the number one team in the country and you go down to the wire. You're going down four or five spots. So if you lose in a conference championship game, you're going down to fifth and you're out of the playoffs.
Right.
Most of the time is what we've seen.
Unless you're Bama or Georgia.
Notre Dame's loss will come to Ohio State in week one and they'll run the table and they'll just keep smacking people and smacking people. I think they keep it close in the shoe enough, you know, inside 10 points. So it's not an ugly loss. They're competitive. They get Clemson late in the season. They'll win that. Maybe USC's ranked when they play them to end the season. They'll win that. And beyond that, I mean, they got BYU. Like, they have good teams to, like, get their name on the ticker on their schedule, but not to threaten them too much. You know, BYU, Syracuse, USC, Boston College. Then they get big win against Clemson, UNC. I think they lose early. Gives Ohio State the path to the college football playoff, and then they just stick around and let the rest take care of itself.
Yeah, the schedule is there for Notre Dame because there's a lot of winnable games, but there's also Ohio State and Clemson and USC, right? So there's always those big brand names. That's interesting. I don't think I've seen anybody pick in Notre Dame. So
that very much might have just been me, like, so agonizingly tired of the same. Because other than that, I was like, I don't see ACC team in, and I don't see a Pac-12 team in, and I don't see I have Utah. I don't see a Big 12 team in. And I just, like, out of principle, will not put a second team from the SEC or the Big Ten in.
And you know what's funny about the current state of college football is let's go out on a limb. I'm sick of these same teams. I'm going to pick the team who's already been in twice.
These are the options they've left us with.
That's the nature of college football now. It's really difficult to pick anyone else.
We've both got Bama and Utah. I think it's obvious Utah comes out of that one, right?
Oh, yeah.
No, Bama.
For sure.
Into the net.
For sure.
I think I'll speak for both of us. So you've got Ohio State and Georgia.
Yeah, that would be the other matchup. I'll go with an Alabama Ohio State national championship. Okay. I think Ohio State's just gonna. Chip Patterson had this last year. He's the host of the Cover 3 podcast, where it was like Ohio State. They get off the bus and score 30. This might be Ohio State gets off the bus and scores 40. It's just, you can just kind of chalk it up when you're looking at like game totals, over unders for point totals, just kind of take 40 and then add whatever you think the other team might be able to score. And if the point total is 55, just assume 40 for Ohio State and then just like, okay, can the other team get 15? Yeah, I think so. Okay, I'm taking the over. This Ohio State offense is going to be so good that I think the defense, as long as they're like top 20, top 25, which by Ohio State's measure is an average defense, they'll be just fine.
You're engaged. So you understand the misery of picking where you want to get food as a family when you have too many options.
Oh, it's the worst.
That is Ryan Day every time he opens his playbook on a Saturday afternoon in the fall. He looks at it, he's like, he's got five plus
it's like
either current or future All-Americans to pick who he's going to give the ball to.
Yeah, you just kind of, all right, what do you want? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. Well, you open up the app, it's like, well, we've got Chinese, Thai food, bao buns, Mexican, burgers. We could do a pizza. Pasta doesn't sound too bad. Like, yep. It's ordering Uber Eats when you're both starving and everything is good.
And can you imagine like trying to tactfully,
no.
One of those two words, call plays in like a total blowout? You're beating, I don't know who's on Ohio State's early in their schedule. You've got Arkansas State week two, right? And you're up. It's like late in the third quarter. You've got walk-ons in. You're up by like 63. And you got to sit there and keep calling plays. Like at a certain point, it gets to Madden, right? Where when it's on too easy, you just call the same three plays and you just march down the field. That's Ohio
halfback
State.
Halfback dive, halfback power, halfback dive.
They
halfback
could get
ISO.
Like legitimately, a team like Arkansas State or Toledo in week three, you might be able to call the same play over and over, like the same play over and over. Just give Travion Henderson the ball, and you like more drives than not, you'll score a touchdown.
Yeah,
with that roster. So anyway, this is not an Ohio State podcast.
If you have like the NFL clarity. Blitz where there's just like a one page, there's like six plays and you show the other coach the playbook before the game. It's like, all right, I'm going to give you this six plays. You can prep the whole week. We're only running this six plays. I think Ohio State still scores 30.
This is not an Ohio State podcast, much to the confusion of our listeners. And the regression to the mean has finally come. We started in the Big Ten West with pretty different standings. I also have an Alabama Ohio State final college football playoff championship. So we've come full circle. We now have the same two teams in the championship, and I have the same team that always wins the championship, winning the championship. It's another Bama year.
For as much as I just gushed about Ohio State, I think Bama wins by like two touchdowns. I think this Bama team is seriously terrifying good.
Yeah. It's one of their years. It's an Alabama year. Get used to it. Get it in your head now. Number one all year, undefeated national champion, Alabama Crimson Tide.
I totally agree. Heisman, my actual pick is CJ Stroud. My for fun pick is let's throw Anthony Richardson, quarterback at Florida. Just to throw out, I don't have it in front of me. I don't know if you remember this. This was like week 7 last year. And Florida, the Anthony Richardson, their quarterback, he was coming in spot duty. And he had on like 25 touches, he had like 18 touchdowns and like 42 yards a carry and like 60 yards per attempt. It was just some ridiculous numbers. His ceiling is as high as anybody. He probably won't hit it, which is why it's the total dark horse flyer, but he's a fun player, man.
I need to start going first sometimes because I also had CJ Stroud as my Heisman pick. Talk about a dude in a good situation for Heisman numbers.
Yeah.
All the publicity, the perfect conference to make it to the playoff, but get plenty of attention all season, and weapons everywhere. And on top of that, he's an excellent quarterback. Boo-hoo, I know. Kevin, if you had to pick a Heisman winner from Michigan State this year, who's your guy?
Jaden Reed.
Yeah, over Peyton Thorne?
Sure. Yeah, because I think Reed would have – I just can't imagine a world – because if you're going to win as a quarterback, you're going to have to put up, what, 5,000 yards, 40 touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't see that in the range of outcomes. But if you're going to win as a receiver – slash punt returner, if they're using him that way, there's a little bit more wiggle room there where you could have 1,600 yards receiving, 2 rushing touchdowns, 2 punt return touchdowns. You know, like there's at least a path there that's more realistic than Peyton Thorne's path.
Yeah, he's also got that dog in him, which is pretty clear.
Oh yeah.
So I could see it. The problem is, as a non-quarterback, you pretty much have to win the national championship to like be in contention. You have to be the best player on the national championship team. That's not a quarterback. So if we're like a 10-win team and Jaden Reed demolished Devonta Smith's, like all of his statistics, he probably still wouldn't win the Heisman Trophy. It's just the reality of it. Nonetheless, we got to button this thing up. Any parting words? Before we get to football season, this is our last non-football season episode.
I know, it's so crazy. At the off season, sometimes I think about it and think like, man, that went real quick. And sometimes I'm like, Jesus, it's been like 8 years since I've had football on my TV. Right now I'm in the mode of like, it feels like it's been 8 years since I've had football on my TV. I haven't watched a single NFL preseason game. I'm saving it for week 1 or week 0. I've got a college football fantasy draft this weekend. It's the first time I've ever done it. So that'll be interesting, but it's this Saturday night. I'm going to be doing a college fantasy draft while watching like Vanderbilt, Hawaii. And I can't wait.
If you ever question Kevin Parker's commitment to college football, just know he's saving himself for Northwestern and Nebraska.
I am, dude. That's how committed he is. Committed to the craft. No, I'm so excited that it's finally around the corner.
I'm going to plug our Pick'em contest. Kevin knows the name. I know the gist of it.
Run Your Pool. You can go to runyourpool.com. We'll be blasting out the invitations, but you can download. There's an app. There's a desktop. Run Your Pool.
We will not be doing official week 0 picks. We want to get this pool up for week 1 so everyone can follow along, and our podcast picks will follow what we're doing in that competition. So follow along on social media, get all the details for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have prizes. We'll give shout outs, all the good stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say we will have at least a prize for sure. We'll give some MSU swag. We'll do something. We haven't come up with something yet, but there will be a prize that'll be worth winning. So make sure you're staying tuned and following along, and make sure you get signed up, because it's going to be a season long accumulation. So you don't want to miss those week one picks.
That's it. Let's get to football season.
Can't wait. So with that, hope everybody has a great weekend. Hope everybody enjoys your week zero. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Until then, go green.
Go white.
Take care, folks.